Welcome to the Banking Reinvented podcast. Every week we discuss how banks can progressively modernize their customer journeys and model business operations around their customers. You're listening to Tim Rutten, and I'll be joined by Backbase CEO and founder Jouke Pleiter and other senior banking leaders from around the globe. Ready to unpack how to re-architect banking together? Let's get started. Welcome back to the second episode of Banking Reinvented. And once more, I'm joined by Jouke. Jouke, good to see you again.
Hey, Tim. Good afternoon. Good to see you. How's your week?
My week so far has been pretty good. Quite a few podcasts, and the weather is turning out quite nicely. How about you?
Well, you know, we're kind of making some very fundamental changes here at Backbase. So one thing I'm very excited about, what I see happening in the product roadmap, I think down the road we can talk a little bit more about it, but I really think there's going to be some massive change in the industry. So stay tuned, I would say, but excited about the product roadmap. And the other part, the company has been growing. So it also means that we need to think about how we are structured. And I think the whole thing now is that how do we kind of get our talent as close as possible to our customers? So again, it's kind of that organizational model that the fundamental thinking is really about starting with the customer. So also for Backbase and how we treat our customers. So it's not easy to kind of manage that growth, but it is kind of super nice to do that together with a very motivated leadership team. So we had these sessions this morning, and I was really enjoying it.
Great. Good to hear. Thanks for sharing.
Yeah.
For today, we first kick off with a key insight, something that you got across last week that triggered you, that you would like to share with the audience, anything that stood out to you.
Well, we had three different leadership teams from prospective customers from all over the world visiting our headquarters here. And what they all had in common was like the search for, you know, what is the right formula? What is the operating model? So I sense there is a lot of curiosity out there where people think about like, hey, what's the paradigm shift in how we can think and how we can operate? So one thing is kind of that outside in customer engagement pattern, but also how do we structure our internal organization? And of course, that's quite sensitive because people, they have their own P&Ls. They have these deeply rooted ways of working in all different cultures from around the world. So I was kind of pleasantly surprised to see how well people are aware that, you know, to drive the digital transformation, they were, let's say, curious and hungry to learn not only from Backbase, but from peers. They typically visit other banks here in the Netherlands. You have ING, there's BBVA, there's kind of, and I think it all kind of hints towards a level of curiosity where people would like to kind of rediscover themselves and fine-tune their formula, basically how to drive this digital transformation.
Their belief systems being challenged and they're open to learn, right? That's a positive in many ways.
Yeah, I was surprised about how open they are, because in a way it is a little bit uncomfortable, right? Because you need to kind of have that kind of level of braveness and confidence that, okay, let's be open and let's learn from this, and then, you know, as a group collaborate on changing the paradigm. So not easy, but it's happening. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I think maybe we should just start like, what's a flywheel? And we were kind of discussing this notion of the Amazon flywheel, where we're kind of basically reading one of those books about the history and the evolution of how Amazon kind of was growing and was overcoming its growth challenges and had to reinvent itself a few times. And the notion was there like, okay, there's kind of the Amazon flywheel where, you know, lowest price, the largest assortment in everything you can offer, that will attract more customers, that will generate volume, that will drive distribution power. And you basically get a cascading effect in your business model. And I think most, if not any, every successful company has a flywheel. So I think it was a couple of years ago in Backbase, we were thinking about like, hey, how can we kind of create not only a Backbase flywheel, but also how can we create a flywheel for our customers? And we kind of start to kind of do first principle thinking about like, what are these cascading items you need to do in order to kind of get a digital transformation program with kind of accelerated flywheel momentum, right? And that's kind of the idea of the flywheel. Each step, each action you take will basically push the next step. And then you kind of basically get that motion, you get that energy, and each step is reinforcing the next step. And you get flywheel energy, so to say. So the original thinking is, it's basically every successful company, or every successful program, in this case, a digital transformation program, could definitely benefit from having a design that is centered around a flywheel and figuring out, like, how do you roadmap certain activities so they start to reinforce each other.
Hey, and then in the Backbase context, it's a big view. Transformation flywheel. It sounds pretty significant. But there's two views here, right? There's the technology view in the flywheel, and there's a business view in the flywheel. Can you perhaps give some color to why these both parties are at play and how they drive the flywheel?
Well, it kind of started with just thinking in different personas, like let's take the perspective from an IT leader or CTO, CIO, and you work in a bank, and like what would be that perspective, right? And then there's another persona that's the business person that runs the P&L or that's responsible for top line growth or margin optimization or e-commerce KPIs, etc. So we basically started to think, like, through these different lenses, you automatically arrive at what would be relevant for if you were kind of operating in such a role. So if you look at kind of the IT persona, we basically said, like, hey, the CIO, group CIO, CTO, your number one problem is that you've got a lot of legacy, or let's say technology debt, so to say. And this is from decades of technology. And fundamentally, the vast majority of your IT budget, several hundred millions, if not more, for larger banks, are spent on keeping the lights on, right? So you see that's kind of the start point. So what would happen if we kind of, could reduce that technical debt, right? That would be tremendous, right? And then what would that mean then if we could kind of move to more of a simplified IT landscape with a common platform architecture? And that could then lead to what would happen if we could decommission legacy systems. So we truly simplify the IT landscape, and that would result then into cost savings. And hey, great, cost savings. We could then kind of reinvest that cash flow in another, let's say, technical debt reduction cycle. And then you basically start to see the flywheel come alive. So I think that was kind of the IT perspective, where we say ultimately the biggest enemy is technology debt, legacy applications, and how do we remove and reduce that technical debt and then get a more fitter, leaner IT landscape and more IT velocity. So that was the IT one. And I think that is basically now battle tested with dozens and dozens of clients, and people are working with that model. But I think the key takeaway is that, it's more of the notion of the flywheel and the encouragement to business leaders and IT leaders to think about how do you stage different activities in order to get the flywheel really going. All right, then let's move to the business side, because that's a slightly different thing. Like on the business side, it kind of all starts with the customer and how can we streamline the customer journey. So there the notion is, like, can we truly create 10x better customer journeys? Like we see with some of these neobanks, or like what we've seen with platforms like Apple, 100% brutal focus on removing any friction you might have in your most critical customer journeys, right? And be fully committed. But if you do so and you really focus on the customer journey and optimizing these journeys, you automatically, ultimately will see that it will, simplify your value proposition. It will increase your conversion ratio. It will increase your margin. And again, you create a winning formula that can basically self-finance itself. So there's huge gains to be made there, for instance, in how do we onboard and welcome new customers? How do we do cross and upsell to increase the share of wallet? And how do we do that in a simplified way with a single platform in the middle to orchestrate it? So the funny part is that both the technology flywheel and the business flywheel were basically brainstormed separately from each other. And then I think at a given moment, someone said, like, okay, what would happen if we bring them together? And you basically see, wow, they have a lot of commonality, and you can actually run these things next to each other combined. So bring IT and business together. And then, the IT roadmap to kind of accelerate the flywheel, which is basically technical debt reduction and simplification, but also the journey optimization and revenue optimization. You can really dovetail these two things and they can start to reinforce each other. And I think that's critical because I think digital transformation is not happening standalone in the IT column, nor standalone in the business column. Ultimately, it's a team sport. It's a contact sport where these leaders have to work extremely closely together.
Would you also say that's actually one of the key insights that led to the combined flywheel, where both business and tech is looking at the same picture and actually supportive of each other?
Well, so in my mind, I didn't realize that at the beginning. So in my mind, it was really, let's say, started kind of more isolated, and then you saw these things come together. Of course, conceptually, we always knew like, hey, we have to bring business and IT together. I think that's the notion of what we see organizationally. Like sometimes people say like banks can be inspired by technology companies or software companies even. And I think what's the big difference is that software companies have where the software is the product and the software is not a project, but it's an ever going cycle of refining and improving the software, right? So I think we're in the banking world, we run programs and we run projects, and at a given moment they're finished and we put them into, let's say, some sort of maintenance model. I think with software, you're never done. You always have the desire to improve. And I think because the world is moving to platforms and basically software is eating the world, I think a lot of industries, including banks, are becoming more technology-centric and maybe have to rethink in their operating model. So behave more like a software model. And in that model, it's a no-brainer that the business/product owner and the technology CTO architect are acting as one. That's what you typically see in these operating models.
Well, it is there by design. That's how they originated. That's how they got started in many ways. I think that also alludes to the fact that the model is not per se rocket science or a super novelty insight, because you see it at scale already. To your point, Jörg, you say these banks can be certainly inspired by software firms or technology firms, but there's also the notion of them being a technology firm themselves. How does that resonate with you?
Well, you know, there's all this talk about like, hey, we're a technology firm with a banking license, but I think ultimately most banks are banks. So let's also not kind of make it more dramatic. Exactly to your point, I think the notion is we're a bank. We are servicing our customer segments from consumers to businesses and commercial accounts, etc. But how can we be inspired by other industries and by other models that in other industries are operating at scale? I think those are the famous examples, like what do we see in the platform economies, in the sharing economies, in software companies. And I think banking executives take a lot of inspiration from these other segments or these other models. And I think in a way, everybody is empowered to infuse some of these insights, you know, in their own culture, in their own leadership team, in their own operating model. And I think that's a quest. It's a search process where people and leadership teams are evolving, which is I think completely, I would say, an open mindset, very important. And I think the more you go into incorporating technology as a critical enabler in your business model, and I think that's pretty much true for every industry, you probably do well by figuring out like what's the craftsmanship of making software, and you know what's the gold standards and what are these best practices out there. And I think really ironically, I think, and that's also where we still see a lot of legacy thinking, in all fairness, traditional banking, it was not about software development. It was just about an IT column with a lot of money and a lot of power, basically executing, you know, in some sort of a dialogue with the business counterparts. But in many cases, it was and is, unfortunately, still a very isolated affair. Ivory tower-like, and of course, the more progressive banks that are in this digital transformation, they are stepping away from that model and they are being inspired by, I would say, more collaborative models, more, let's say, organic, ever-evolving and improving kind of operating models. Because software is not static. You know, software projects don't end. I think software projects always are there to, of course, they can mature. They can have a maturity level, but it's an ongoing process where a product owner and an architect are responsible for a journey, a piece of business logic, and they are evolving that based on customer demand and feedback, etc.
I would even argue that if you have a longer term view on your technology, you will probably make different decisions than the shorter term view that's been in place so far, which has led to where the banks typically are today. They are dealing with a myriad of solutions because at the time, with a horizon of 1, 2, 3 years, it's a solid decision to eventually end up with the jungle of technology that you have today, which actually limits you to deliver the ambition that you might have. I think that's maybe the final question for today, Jouk. Sorry to move on, but if you think about this flywheel, okay, cool. I think everyone wants to go there. It's you almost, again, cannot argue against it. It's very natural, I believe, to move to that model. But what then remains is the actual execution struggle and perhaps DNA, talent, culture. Where do you feel sits the most, let's say, challenging hurdle to get the initial motion going?
Now, well, there's, of course, a lot of, let's say, obstacles and things that can go wrong. But like if we have to dissect it, I would say, for sure, let's say, strategic intent of the leadership team. I think that's the number one. Where do you want to go? And then collectively, not in isolation. So the leadership, the executive team, plus minus one, minus two, like, but collectively, what's the strategic intent? What's the North Star? Then I think, like, subsequently, you can basically think through the flywheel of technical depth reduction and IT simplification, as well as journey optimization and increasing your top and bottom line. You have to do some sort of smart planning on how do you slice and dice the elephant. And so it's basically progressively, how do we kind of create a smart roadmap where the roadmap is driving business value, technology value, real results in 6 to 12 months, like tangible results, and you basically get your flywheel going. But you have to kind of create that roadmap as a collaborative effort and as concrete steps towards the North Star and towards kind of getting momentum in the flywheel. I think those are the, and of course, there's a lot of other stuff like the talent, etc. But really 10,000 feet, strategic intent, roadmap alignment to basically build the flywheel, the IT flywheel, the business flywheel. I would say those are the most important. If you nail that and you do that in true as a true team effort, then there's the enablement technologies, there's the skill sets, it's the people that can basically find their place in that larger model. Ultimately, then it comes down to, I would say, independent squads or development teams that can take true independent ownership. So I would say autonomy of a squad to really take full end-to-end ownership of, let's say, a welcoming journey or, you know, a payment dispute, let's say, domain space, where these squads, where there's been a lot of talk about agile development. Let's park all the fluffy stuff from agile, but the notion that squads need to have ownership and accountability and pride and a long-term view on how they can improve and refine a specific domain. I think that is also another important ingredient.
And also on those topics, we will double click in the future because they themselves are also domains to really make specific trade-offs. Yeah. And there's quite some considerations there too. Hey, then for today, let's move to the key takeaways. I've been listening carefully, Jouk. I've written down a few that I believe capture the essence. Stepping back, kicking off with the flywheel. What is a flywheel? I would say the viewpoint is that any successful business has a flywheel and generates momentum, and hence it's a positive business. It generates positive impact for the customers, but also it certainly has a top and bottom line a good impact. And then you made an interesting separation between technology and business. On the technology side, we spoke about lowering your technology debt because it's literally hampering you from making progress. IT simplification, how do you literally do more with less? How do you clean up what has been brought to the table over the past 10 years, which you now need to deal with in your position, to generate cost savings, right? At a very high level, that's, let's say, the three drivers, which then pivots into the business persona, or at least the business leader, where supposedly that business leader can then start to drive towards a mission of delivering 10x better customer journeys, like a very nice, big, daunting goal out there. How do you deliver those? Again, for that, you need to be enabled by technology, which should then allow you to, for instance, build tailored value propositions to be way more meaningful in how you deliver value and service your customers, which at the end should generate more impact for your business model, which in turn once more can go and be invested into your flywheel. So in essence, and we'll put a visual in as well in the show notes, this is what's going to drive your transformation to gain more momentum and more positive energy also internally, and then really go through all of the nitty-gritty of getting there. Because again, it's not a six-month project and it's over. It's a very long journey, which might even never stop. Because the other point you made was that software is forever improving. And in essence, that is the key component of a successful digital venture going forward.
Totally. And if the software is connected to a real ROI, it's totally fine that it's actually evolving. It's the whole idea, right? It has a yield where maybe an IT project is only a cost perspective, right? So I really think it's the fundamental starting point is that a journey is about customer value and around business value. Hence, it has its own, let's say, ROI. It has its own, let's say, healthy ecosystem. And therefore, it's totally fine that it's continued to evolve and become better. Or, you know, widen its scope. I think the other part is that, and this is crazy, but Tim, like we still see banks that like this formula of the flywheels, I think it's super important to make a very clear separation between who are the people that do run the business and run the classic IT versus who are the people that are dedicated on this new mission to drive the transformation. And, you know, in a lot of cases, the classic run world, those budgets, those optimizations are delaying the fundamental change. So I think the notion of the flywheel, agile way of working, all these best practices are there. But it's also, and I would say, an executive commitment to really prioritize the transformation, the change. And then also to have a separate change organization that is basically inspired by industry best practices from within banking, but also from outside banking.
Which again comes down to the two strong statements you made when I asked for what typically holds back the banks in getting the momentum going. Strategic intent, super clear strategic leadership on we are going to go for this change and it's driven across. And secondarily, how do you then slice and dice it? How do you progressively modernize effectively step by step, almost business case by business case, to just start and not keep kicking the can, if I may.
Yeah, now the way you say it, like, I think you kind of reconfirm it in my mind as well. Like, I mean, there's a lot of gravity, unfortunately, in run and in legacy. So if your strategic intent is weak, it's going to fail, right? Gravity will do its work. So that's a self-fulfilling prophecy there.
Cool. All right, we're going to wrap up the second episode, Jouk. Thanks for joining and see you next week. Take care.
Take care. Bye.
Thanks for listening to Banking Reinvented, a podcast by Backbase. Make sure to follow both Jouk and myself on LinkedIn, where we will be sharing key insights about our journey towards modernizing banking.